Not every night needs to end with mind-blowing sex. I'm content to hold you, to be with you, to just feel you against me. You are romantic, she says quietly while running her fingers through my hair. I like it. I've never been one for romance, but when it comes from you, I like it very much. I smile and kiss her softly and return us to the way we were. Go to sleep, Mia. She clears her throat and kisses my shoulder again. Okay. Sleep well, love. She falls into a deep sleep, breathing evenly, and now my eyes are wide open. Maybe it was a slip of the tongue, something to say as she falls asleep. She's exhausted. Would she have used that word if she were wide awake? I don't think so. Yet, hearing it from her lips has ignited a fire in me that I didn't know existed. I do love Mia, fiercely. I want to claim her, to be with her for as long as I live. My life just isn't the same when she isn't in it. And I'm ready to give her the words, to make her feel the way I feel right now. I know that she didn't say, I love you, and that she was already half asleep when she said it. I don't care. I need to tell her.
Chapter 13. Mia. How's the new guy? Camden asks as I change lanes on the freeway west of Portland. We're on our way to my favorite orchard to pick apples. Pete's great, I reply with a nod. What do you like best about him? I love that Camden asks me thought-provoking questions. He doesn't just leave the conversation at Pete's great. He wants more, which tells me he pays attention and he gives a shit. Basically, he's a unicorn. Okay, here's my list of things I like about Pete. I clear my throat. He's super competent. Not only does he have a culinary degree, but he's worked in high-profile kitchens most of his career, so he's great under pressure. Very important, Camden says with a nod. Yes. Also, he patiently learned my recipes and doesn't try to take liberties with them. He knows that the food sells well just the way it is, and he respects that, while also suggesting new menu items to incorporate as time goes on. It took me months to develop the aphrodisiac menu, Camden. It wasn't easy. So having someone else on hand who has ideas is refreshing. I can see that. He's tough on the other kitchen staff, but not unreasonable. I also know that he's not trying to elbow me out of my own kitchen. He's enjoying his job, and because I trust him to run the kitchen without me, I can take several days off each week to work on new recipes, or interview new vendors,
or spend time with your boyfriend.
I glance over to see him smiling at me, and I squeeze his hand. Yes, like today when he's going with me to pick apples.
They do sell apples at most grocery stores, he says, if not every grocery store.
It's not the same as picked from the tree. I take my exit off the freeway. This orchard is about an hour from downtown Portland. It's not just an apple orchard. They also grow cherries and pears and pumpkins for autumn. I can smell fall in the air. He barks out a laugh.
That comedian was right. Women love fall.
What's wrong with fall? I like pumpkins and apples and snuggling up under a blanket by a fire.
It's still 80 degrees outside.
It's just barely fall. I hope you've been working out because these apples aren't going to be light.
So that's why I'm really here, for my manly muscles.
You're the brawn in this operation. I agree as I pull into the parking lot and cut the engine. Are you afraid of heights?
Not really. Why?
Because we will be on ladders today.
They let customers climb ladders.
They don't sell pre-picked apples. This is a DIY place, and that way the apples are super fresh. They make the best pie. He follows me into the main sales building to fetch crates for our apples, and then we set off down row after row of beautiful apple trees.
Red or green? He asks.
Both. I grin and stare up at some gorgeous Granny Smith apples hanging heavily on a tree. Look at these beauties.
You have heart eyes, just like the emoji on my phone.
I love apples. I reply with a shrug and gesture for him to fetch me a free ladder from a few trees away. He drags it over to me, and I immediately climb up it to inspect the apples.
No worms that I can see.
I should hope not.
I glance down to find him aiming his phone at me, and he snaps a picture. Are you going to help me or just take my picture all day?
Both, he says with a grin. What do you need me to do?
I'm going to drop some apples down for you to put in our crates. We take turns picking and gathering apples for about 30 minutes. When I have 5 crates full, he frowns up at me from the ground.
How many pies are you planning to make?
Maybe 10, I shrug. I don't know. I'll bake until the apples are finished. I'll also use the leftovers for apple butter.
10? I thought you were going to make a pie.
There's no sense in making just one. I'll put apple pie on the dessert menu for the next week. It's fall, so they'll sell well. We make our way back to pay for the apples, and Campton wrestles them into my SUV, taking up the entire rear cargo space.
This might be way too many apples, sweetheart.
I'll find uses for them. He laughs and gets into the car with me.
Do I get to help make the pies?
Of course.
Do I get one whole pie to myself?
You're really selfish when it comes to pie.
In case you forgot, it was you who sat in your bed and taunted me with cherry pie 2 weeks ago.
Poor guy. I toss him a sassy smile and pull back onto the freeway toward home. I'll make it up to you.
With pie?
If you'd rather have pie than a blowjob, yes, pie is all yours.
You drive a hard bargain.
You have no idea.
This kitchen really is great.
He says an hour later after we've hauled all of the apples into my house.
It looks brand new.
It is. I mean, the renovations were finished a while ago, but I barely used the kitchen. It was important to me that I have a chef's kitchen in my home and that it be commercially certified so I could develop recipes and make some of the food ahead of time here at home.
That's smart of you. Have you actually been able to do that?
Nope, not even once. Until today. I grin and preheat the oven. So, you get to help me on my maiden voyage in the kitchen for commercial purposes.
I'm honored.
He bows deeply, then grins at me.
Where do you want me?
Everywhere. But for this project, we probably shouldn't have sex here. It's just not sanitary.
You're funny,
he says and reaches for a crate of apples, plopping it on my countertop.
Where do we start?
I'm going to fill some big bowls with cold water so we can start peeling them without them going brown. After the bowls are full, I set them on my massive island, pull out 2 cutting boards, and offer him a knife.
I have knives in my car, he says. I'll be right back.
There are perks to being with a chef. He knows the importance of keeping his own knives nearby.
No one else would get it.
He returns with what looks like a suitcase that should either have $1 million in small unmarked bills or a bomb in it. Instead, he opens it, and his knives are set in black foam. They gleam in the light from my kitchen. Those are gorgeous.
They're good knives. You have good ones, too.
We each get to work peeling and slicing apples, and when one bowl is full, I set it aside. If you don't mind, you can keep peeling and I'll start on the crusts. He just nods and keeps working on the apples.
Whose recipe do you use for this?
My mother's. I've helped her bake pies since I was a little girl.
Is apple pie popular in Italy?
I smile and shake my head. When she and Daddy moved here, it was important to her that she fit in. She wanted to cook American meals. She wanted to make friends with her neighbors. And she definitely didn't want to be an outsider. So she gathered recipes from her neighbors and would even go spend time in their kitchens watching them. Apple pies are her favorite.
Your parents are...
old-fashioned? A little odd? Nosy as fuck? Yeah, they're all those things. And they are wonderful parents. Landon and I were always loved and never went without much. My dad has been a contractor for as long as I can remember. He worked his ass off so Mom could stay home with us. And they made a nice life for themselves here.
They love you very much.
I nod and add some apples to a pot to boil with sugar and cinnamon. Sometimes they use the "we love you so much" just so they can intrude. Try to take control, embarrass their children.
I think most parents do that,
he says with a laugh.
That's not necessarily an Italian trait.
I know. I sigh and glance over my shoulder at him. And I don't mean to complain. especially when I'm standing near a man who no longer has his parents. It's not that I'm ungrateful.
I know. It gets frustrating. Do you make pies like this for the restaurant every year?
I usually have apple pie on the menu for fall, but I've never been able to make them ahead like this. I normally make them every day at Seduction, and we run out after being open for an hour. Even if I bake 20 pies, they'll be gone in 3 days.
I'm so proud of you, Mia.
My head whips up in surprise.
I mean it,
he continues. The apples are all peeled and sliced now, and he's leaning against the countertop, his arms crossed over his chest.
What you've done with your restaurant is beyond impressive.
It's taken a village. There are 5 of us, I remind him, but he shakes his head.
I'm not trying to take anything away from the others. It's obvious that you all live and breathe that place. But as a chef, I know how much work goes into designing a kitchen, building a menu, and all of the little things that no one else thinks about. You've put a lot of yourself into it.
I have. I agree and stir the apples, then get to work on the crusts. And you're right. There were plenty of nights when the girls would go home around midnight, and I'd stay through the night, especially in the beginning. I'm not telling you this for sympathy.
I know.
I just enjoy experimenting, and I really love my job.
I know that, too.
So it's been a labor of love for all of us. The aphrodisiac element was my idea. I liked the thought of our place being sexy, a place where a newlywed couple could come, or maybe a first date, anniversaries. People say all the time my husband took me out on a date, and I wanted us to open a place that catered to date night. It's in every element of the place, not just the food. Addie designed a wonderful dining room with rich fabrics, comfortable colors that relax and stir the senses. The music piped through the place is sexy. It came together better than any of us expected.
It's a sensation,
he says with a nod.
I heard about it not long after you opened. I didn't know you were one of the owners at the time, but your restaurant made its way through the food grapevine. What you've done is remarkable.
Thank you. I smile widely, lay the crust in a pie plate, then fill it with apples. That means a lot.
What can I do now?
These two are about to go in the oven. If you want to start more apples in the pot for 2 more pies, we'll get them going as well. For the next 20 minutes, we work side by side, not needing to talk at all. The quiet is comfortable, and my house is beginning to smell amazing.
Hello?
Landon's voice calls out from my front door just as the next 2 pies go into the oven. Camden and I walk out of the kitchen to greet him.
Hey, Camden says and shakes Landon's hand. How are you?
Good.
Landon smiles at me and cocks a brow.
How are you?
I'm good, too, I reply. He sniffs deeply.
Pie!
It's still baking, I inform him, rolling my eyes.
Great. I'll stay long enough to have hot pie.
He grins and takes a seat at my dining room table. Is that the only reason you're here? Did your psychic powers tell you that we're baking today?
I don't have psychic powers,
Landon informs Camden, who only smiles in response.
I just had a few hours free and thought I'd swing by to see you. Cammy said he took the day off.
I did. Camden and I went to the orchard for apples.
So I take it the new chef is working out?
He's really great, I reply with a nod. And I trust him, so I can take more days off.
I'm glad. You worried me.
Oh, please. I roll my eyes and stand when I hear the timer in the kitchen. The first 2 are done. I rush back to pull them out of the oven, set them on cooling racks, and return to the dining room. You saying that you're worried about me is ridiculous, I say, carrying on where I left off.
Why?
Landon asks. Because you used to fly fighter jets in enemy territory. That is worth being worried over.
Did you really?
Camden asks.
Mia never told you?
Landon asks. Camden shakes his head.
No, if I remember right. She just said that her brother was in the Navy.
I was, but she left out the best part.
He glares at me, and I know it's all in fun. Landon isn't one to brag.
I flew jets. I was stationed on aircraft carriers for years.
What made you decide to get out?
I had an accident,
he says and shakes his head.
I had to eject, and once you do that, your career is over.
I had no idea.
Landon nods.
Most guys, when they walk away from an ejection, suffer from head or spinal injuries. But even if you don't, you can never be released to fly again. I didn't want to ride a desk, so I got out.
How have you been feeling? I ask him.
I'm fit as a fiddle, and I want pie.
It's still cooling.
That's when it's best.
He turns on his pouty face and bats his eyelashes at me, and I roll my eyes and stand. Fine, I'll cut you some. Would you like a piece, Camden?
Sure. Thanks, sweetheart.
I walk back into the kitchen and cut us each a slice, then scoop out vanilla ice cream to go with it. I use my pretty dessert plates because it makes me happy. The guys probably won't even notice. Just as I've loaded up my tray and I'm about to return to the dining room, I can hear Landon speaking in a low, serious tone. So, of course, I stop and listen.
I know you care about her, Landon says. I can see that. And from what I can see, you're a decent guy. She has it bad for you, and I'm happy for her. I really am. But just be gentle with her. I don't think she's had a lot of gentle in her life, especially from men.
I have no intentions to hurt her,
Camden says, also in a hushed tone.
I should hope not, Landon says. I know she comes off as being really badass and tough, and trust me, when I say that most of the time she is those things. But she also has one of the kindest hearts I know. Once she lets someone into her life, she doesn't half-ass it. She loves big, Camden. And if she trusts you, you'd best make damn sure you don't fuck that up. Because with Mia, once the trust is gone, you're toast. She may forgive, but she never forgets.
I know that, too, Camden says. I don't know how or why I've been given the second opportunity to have her in my life. But here it is all the same, and I am not going to fuck it up.
Glad to hear it, man.
I have to clear my throat, and will the tears to stay at bay. Two of the most important men in my life just had a come-to-Jesus conversation for me. I think that's a first. I've had plenty of them with other people, but I don't think that Landon or Dad have ever tried to warn off a guy I was interested in. Not that I brought many of them around. I walk back into the dining room and pass around the dessert. The ice cream has just barely started to melt.
Vanilla ice cream, too?
Camden asks and digs in. I'm no beginner. My dessert game is strong.
It's early for dessert,
Landon says with a frown, checking the clock on the wall. It's never too early for dessert, I reply and take a bite. You can take the rest of this pie home to share with Cammy.
Thanks.
And I mean share with Cammy. She told me what happened the last time I sent that cake home with you.
What happened?
Camden asks.
I put it in the microwave,
Landon says defensively. And you forgot to tell Cammy that it was there. He cringes.
So I'd go into the kitchen and think, oh, there's cake. And I'd cut myself a piece, eat it, and go about my day. That happened every day until the cake was gone.
And then a few days later, I asked Cammy if she liked the cake. She was like, what cake?
Not a smart move, man,
Camden says, laughing.
Trust me, I've been reminded over and over to never do it again.
Especially now that she's pregnant, I say and feel my heart soften. I haven't seen much of you since Cammy told us. How are you doing?
I'm nervous, he admits and turns to Camden. We lost a baby when we first got married. We weren't sure if she could have children after that.
But here we are, I say, and reach over to squeeze his hand. Cammy's healthy, and that's going to be one spoiled little baby.
Yeah. He grins and takes another bite of pie. And if I forget to tell her that we have pie, she'll cut my dick off.
That seems harsh, Camden says.
Well, I put the toilet paper on the roll backwards, and she threatened my manhood over that. And this would be much worse.
Maybe I should send her a pie just for her.
Not a bad idea, Landon says.
Chapter 14. Camden. Hey, Camden, Addie says in greeting when I walk through the front door of Seduction 2 weeks later. Hi. Is Mia in the kitchen? She is. She bites her lip and looks back toward Mia's domain. You may not want to go back there. Why? Is she okay? Oh, she's fine. Addie nods, but her face has uncertainty written all over it. but she's in a mood. I brought coffee, I reply confidently, and saunter through the dining room to the kitchen. I open the door and stop dead, taking in the scene before me. There are two sous chefs on staff today, and they're both scurrying around as if they've just had a fire lit under them. Mia is nowhere to be seen. Excuse me? No one looks up from their task, and Mia hurries out of the walk-in freezer. Hi, I say, and walk over to her. I hold the coffee out, suddenly very unsure of myself. Hello yourself, she says. I brought coffee. Thank you. She offers me a quick smile, then gestures to the countertop beside her. You can set it down. She hurries away again, but before I can turn around, she's back. Do you need something, Camden? She asks. She's clearly busy, and maybe a bit pissed off, so I do what I know to do with Mia. I wrap my arms around her from behind and hug her. She stiffens. I'm at work. So you are. Seriously, Camden. She wiggles away and turns to face me now, no humor anywhere on her face. What's up? I was just thinking about you, so I thought I'd stop in and bring you something. See if I can help out. I don't need any help today, she says and turns away. Thanks for the coffee. It's going to get cold if you don't drink it. She stops what she's doing, sighs, picks up the cup, and takes a sip. Yum, thanks. You're welcome. I smile brightly, but she doesn't return it. What's going on, Mia? I'm just trying to catch up here. These two yahoos were supposed to come in early today to prep for later, and neither of them remembered. She says remembered with finger quotation marks. So here we are, busting ass to be ready on time. I told you I can help. I don't need your help. I need the people I pay good money to show up on fucking time. She glares at the others. Neither is brave enough to look up. So, thanks for the coffee, but I don't have time to stand here and entertain you. Must be about to start a period, I mumble and turn away. I don't reach the door before I hear one of the sous chefs say, Dumbass. What did you just say? Mia demands. I turn around to find her standing with her hands fisted on her hips and her blue eyes shooting fire. She's gorgeous when she's pissed off. I was just making an observation, I reply. You weren't this moody this morning, which was literally 2 hours ago, and now I can't seem to do anything right. God grant me the strength to not beat the shit out of the people around me today, she says as she scrubs her hands over her face. You know what, Camden? I'll see you tomorrow. I can't even deal with you right now, or later. I can meet you at your place tomorrow, she repeats, eyes narrowed. Fine. I turn and march out of the kitchen, but rather than leave, I walk into the bar. Cat's behind it, rotating liquor bottles. Hey, Camden, what can I do for you? She asks with a smile. I don't know Cat well, but from what I've seen of her, I like her. She has a style all of her own, with her flaming red hair and interesting outfits. Today she's in a red shirt with white polka dots. It's tied at her waist and she's wearing short denim shorts. It works for her. Hi, Cat. I sit on a stool and sigh. I need a drink. It's not even noon yet. And yet here I am. Don't make me beg. She smirks. What's your poison? Whiskey. Neat. Wow. She pulls a glass down and pours two fingers of whiskey in it, then slides it over. I swallow it, then pass it back for more. This time, when she hands it back to me, I sip it. So, are you going to tell me why you're drinking straight whiskey this early in the day? Maybe I just like to drink a lot. Do you like to drink a lot? No. Well then. She smiles and sets her work aside so she can listen to me. What's up? You seem oddly easy to talk to. I have a psychology degree. Should I call you Doc? Nah, just Cat. I nod and sip my drink. Mia's pissed at me. Yeah, I heard she was on a tear this morning. That hasn't happened in a while, since you got here, actually. I have no idea why she's pissed. It probably has nothing at all to do with you, she says reasonably. Then why is she taking it out on me? Because you're the person who means the most to her? Of course she's going to take it out on you. How old are you, Camden? 32. And you're just now finding out that women can take out their frustration and anger on you even if it's not your fault? I would think this is something you'd have experience in far sooner than this. I don't think I really cared before, I answer truthfully. Most of my previous relationships have been casual. I work a lot of hours. I don't have time to invest in a relationship. I hope you're about to say, until now? Until now, I reply with a smile and sip my whiskey. She has quite the temper. Oh, this is nothing. She's a pussycat this morning. Kat laughs and takes a drink of her own coffee. Suddenly, I can hear Mia yelling, but I can't make out the words. Okay, now it's moved into pissed-off territory. She said her help didn't come in on time this morning. That'll do it, Kat says with a nod. She works her ass off, and she expects the help to work just as hard, which, unfortunately, isn't likely. They don't own this place. Their success doesn't hang in the balance of whether or not we succeed. If we don't, they move on to another restaurant, but the rest of us will be fucked. I hear you, I reply with a nod. She's talked to me about the lack of work ethic in the people she's hired before. It's got to be disappointing. For sure. I had another bartender quit on me yesterday, and that's the third one since summer started. She shrugs. I'd love to take a weekend away with my husband, but I can't just go. I know the girls would cover for me. Riley's not a half-bad bartender when she has to be. But this is my responsibility. I know Mia feels the same way. I nod and swallow down the last of my drink. Thanks. You're welcome. I hope you don't plan to drive home now. I'm going to go find a place to have breakfast on foot, and then I'll head home. I'm fine, though, Kat. I trust that you are, she says. I hope your day gets better. I've been cut off until tomorrow, I inform her. So, it's going to pretty much suck. I know we haven't been seeing each other for long, but I miss her when she isn't around. That's sweet, Kat smiles. And I know what you mean. I miss Mac, too. Maybe if you call her later, you can talk her into letting you come over. I think I'll give her some space. I stand. What do I owe you? This one's on the house. She winks at me and I nod, then leave the bar and pass by Addie on my way out. How did it go? Addie asks. Well, we're lucky that I don't need an ambulance for stab wounds. She covers her mouth with her hand, trying to cover her laughter. Well, there's that, I guess. Yeah. To be fair, I did try to warn you. You did. It was my fault. Next time I'll leave the coffee with you and make a hasty retreat. Good idea. 24 hours without her, and I want to punch something. Or someone. I texted her this morning, but didn't get a response, so I'll just see if she's home. I miss her. And I'll be damned if she's going to shut me out now. Her car is in her driveway. Taking that as a good sign, I knock on the front door, but there's no answer. It's unlocked, so I walk in and listen. It's quiet. Maybe she's sleeping. Mia? I call out and leave my phone, wallet, and keys by the front door. There's no answer as I walk through the living space and check her bedroom. The covers are messy, but she's not in her bed. Not in the shower. I backtrack to the kitchen, but she's not here either. The back door is open, and I can see her kneeling in the garden. I lean on the door jamb and watch her for a long moment. Her long, curly hair is tied back in a tail, and she's wearing a pink, wide-brimmed hat to hide her face from the sun. She's wearing gardening gloves and is ripping weeds out of the earth as if they've all personally offended her. I walk down the steps and stop next to her. She glances my way, but doesn't even pause. Good morning, I say, and shove my hands in my pockets. Hello? She still doesn't look up at me, so I decide to enjoy the quiet and just work next to her for a while. Her wheelbarrow is across the yard, so I fetch it and load it with the weeds she's already pulled. Then I start at the opposite side of the garden from her and begin to pull weeds myself. When I'm about 10 feet from her, I gather my weeds and toss them in the wheelbarrow. How are you today, Mia? I'm pretty good, she says quietly. You know, I realize that I owe you an apology for something I said yesterday, but I'm not entirely sure what that is. What did I say? She finally sits back on her haunches, pushes her hat high on her forehead, and looks up at me. She's wearing sunglasses, but she takes them off, and I'm glad to be able to see her blue eyes, which are a bit shiny, as if she was crying earlier. I know that it's considered funny by men to accuse a woman of being on her period if she's in a bad mood. I get it, but frankly, I don't think it's funny. She stands and takes her gloves off, slapping them against her leg to knock the excess dirt off. In fact, I think it's a passive-aggressive way of calling me a bitch. So, you called me a bitch. That's not at all what I meant. Doesn't matter, she says with a shrug. I heard a really good quote once that went something like, when a person tells you that you've hurt them, you don't get to decide that you didn't. I would never intentionally hurt you, Mia. She nods once, glances down at her gloves, and then sighs. I know that I can fly off the handle, and most of the time I'm told that I'm being irrational. But between the morning I had before you came in and then hearing you call me a bitch, it was the perfect storm for me to be pissy. And I'll apologize for taking it out on you, because that was my fault and it wasn't fair. She swallows hard and bends over to pull one weed that she missed. I'm sorry that I didn't realize how upset you were, I reply, and reach out to brush some dirt from her cheek. I overreact, she says, but I shake my head in disagreement. You're passionate, I reply. I don't think you overreact at all. You feel your emotions deeply, and you express them passionately. You're not trying to be a drama queen. She's watching me now with wide eyes. You know, I've never thought of it that way before. It's true. I pull her in for a hug and feel the weight of the past 24 hours lift from my shoulders. What else can I help with? Well, if you don't mind watering the plants with the hose over there, I'll start picking some of the veggies. I haven't done that yet. I was too busy weeding. I can do that. I kiss her forehead and hold her chin in my fingers. Are we okay? Yeah, she grins. Thanks for coming over. I tried to text you, but I didn't get a response. I turned my phone off last night and haven't looked at it since. I need some time to just be. I'm sorry if you were worried. I'm okay. I turn on the hose and drag it over to the garden and begin to water the plants. The nozzle on the hose lets just a trickle of water out, so although it takes longer to water, it doesn't harm the plants. Look at these carrots, she says with excitement, holding up some impressively big carrots. These are going to be perfect in the salads. We work side by side for a while. When her bounty is all collected, she takes it inside, then returns to help clean up. She's just dumped the weeds out of the wheelbarrow and turned back toward me when I decide to point the hose at her and turn the spray up. Oh my God, she cries and holds her hands up over her face. What the fuck? She's laughing, so I spray her again. She runs to the opposite side of the house, and before I know it, she returns with another hose turned on full blast. Two can play this game, buddy. She sprays me and then turns her back to me so my spray hits her shoulders. It's so cold! We run all over the backyard, getting each other and everything else sopping wet. Uncle! She cries and drops her hose, holding her hands up in surrender. I can't. She's laughing so hard she can hardly catch her breath. Seriously. I drop my hose too and tackle her to the ground, roll us until she's under me, and drag hair that worked its way out of the ponytail off of her face. I love you, Mia. She immediately stops laughing and stares up at me. Wait, what? You heard me. I kiss her cheek and then her forehead. Why do you look so surprised?
I don't know.
She leans away so she can look in my eyes.
Maybe because you've never said it before?
I've been wanting to say it for a long time, I admit with a shrug, and then kiss her sweet lips. I should have told her weeks ago, but I didn't want the moment to seem forced. Playing with you, watching you laugh, is one of my favorite things with you, and I just couldn't help myself.
I look horrible, she says.
I'm in my grimiest clothes, my hair is a wreck, I probably have dirt in all of my most secret places. You didn't bathe in the garden, did you, sweetheart? She grins.
No.
So probably just dirty on the outside, then. I rub a particularly dirty patch on her cheek.
but still gorgeous, and I'm still in love with you. She closes her eyes and looks like she's physically having a hard time letting the words soak in. Look at me. Why don't you believe me? I didn't say that I don't believe you, she says, but still won't look me in the eye. She's toying with a string on the sleeve of my T-shirt. I don't think you're lying. Well, that's good to know, I reply, but still can't figure out the lack of response from her. Mia? Uh-huh. I kiss her deeply, plant my thigh between her legs, and feel her immediate arousal. She's clinging to me, but she ends the kiss and stares in my eyes for a moment until I ask, what is it? Why? Why what? Why do you love me? I pause, thrown by the question. Jesus, there are a billion reasons to love this woman. I have no idea how to go about listing them. But the most important question of all is, why does she need to ask me that? Don't you think you're lovable? She frowns, and a myriad of emotions play over her face before she looks away, and I can see tears threatening to form. The last thing in the world that I ever want to see is Mia in tears. So before she can answer me, I stand up and hold my hand out to help her up off the ground, which she immediately takes. I lead her into the house, through the kitchen, and into the living room where I dropped my phone. I want to show you something.
Chapter 15, Mia. Holy fuck. He's staring down at me with so much raw emotion in his face, in his voice, that I don't even know what to do. Do I say it back to him? Because I want to more than anything. I love him so much that my chest aches with it. Don't you think you're lovable? He asks and drags his fingertips down my cheek. I don't know. That's the ridiculous response that's running through my head. I don't know if I'm lovable, or worthy of love, at least from him. The girls all love me, and my family loves me, but this is so different. Suddenly he stands and helps me to my feet, then leads me into the house. I'm not even going to think about the fact that we're tracking dirt and water through the house that I spent all morning cleaning. He grabs his phone and turns back to me. I want to show you something. He pulls me onto the couch next to him, cuddles me, and wakes up his phone from standby so I can see the screen. He opens his photos, then finds a folder that's labeled Mia. This photo, he begins as he starts at the most recent image, was the other day when we were watching that horror movie. You were curled up in the corner of the couch, that orange blanket pulled up to your chin, and your eyes were so damn wide. I love your blue eyes, by the way. He scrolls to the next photo. This was at the farmer's market this week. You were smelling the peaches, and the look of pure joy in your face is just stunning. I love how much you love food. Oh, and this one was that morning that you slept through your alarm. I'm sleeping in this photo. Yes, I woke up the alarm, and I knew I needed to capture this. Look at how sweet you look. I would call it a hot mess, but I'm not going to argue. He flips through a few more photos, then stops on one where I'm laughing. Is this at that comedy show? I ask. Yep, and I love it when you laugh. I look horrible in this one. I have about 14 chins. No, you don't, he says and kisses my forehead. Besides, you're making my favorite sound in this picture. Did I snort? No, you're giggling. My giggle is your favorite sound? It is, he says and shows me a photo he took while we were dancing. Look at how happy you are here. You seriously love to dance. Yeah. I grin and examine this photo. I was wearing the cute black top that Addie helped me pick out, along with some skinny jeans and fun shoes. I felt sexy that night. You were so fucking sexy that night that I thought I was going to have to kill some of the fuckers who kept eyeballing you. Whatever, I reply with a snort. But he looks down at me with deadly serious eyes. Trust me, they were looking. But I only have eyes for you, I reply and bat my eyelashes. He kisses me and flips to the next photo. He flips to one of me just smiling at him from the top of a ladder at the orchard.
That was a fun day.
The pies went over amazingly at the restaurant, I reply with a nod. And yeah, the whole day was fun, picking the apples and making the pies together. I enjoy being with you.
He smiles down at me and keeps going through the photos. This was during filming, he continues, and shows me a photo with my back to him, and my hip is cocked to the side. Did you know that you dance while you cook?
Yeah, I catch myself doing that a lot. I try not to do it in front of the others at work.
I fucking love it when you do that, he says with a smile. It's like you have your two favorite things at the same time, food and dancing.
Cooking makes me happy, so I dance.
It's sexy as all get out, so don't stop doing it on my behalf, he says.
He shows me a few more, and then flips to a photo that makes me stop cold. Camden.
This was the day before you left me.
His voice is quieter now.
We'd been married for about 2 days, and you had made us dinner. You said,
I wanted to cook something delicious for my husband.
I whisper and clench my eyes closed.
I'm so young in that picture. I'm a horrible person.
You aren't. Keep looking. Here's one from the day you told me you thought you were pregnant.
I look terrified. He nods.
I haven't looked at this photo in a long time. You're right. You do look terrified.
We're quiet for a moment, and then he flips to more of me laughing, sticking my tongue out at him while dressed in my school uniform and holding a measuring cup full of milk. I was so young, I murmur, and thinner.
You were all thinner then, he says with a smile.
Oh, please. If you've gained a pound at all, it's just because you're even more muscly than before. I squeeze his bicep, and he obliges me with a flex, making me grin. I really do appreciate your arms.
Good to know, he says, wiggling his eyebrows. This is the last photo.
It's just me, sitting at my desk in school, smiling shyly at him. This was before we moved in together. He nods and sets his phone aside.
I've loved you for a very long time, Mia.
I swallow hard, honestly surprised. Why didn't you ever tell me? He sighs.
I wanted to. I'm just not good at saying the words. I think that if I show you, by doing nice things for you, holding you, being affectionate, that I don't need to say the words.
Why is it hard for you to say it? Did you have a crappy childhood or something? He shakes his head.
Not at all. I had a great childhood. I'm no shrink, but it's probably because of the way my parents died when I was a teenager.
You never speak of them.
I know, that's not right because they were awesome parents, Mia. Steph is 4 years older than me. I was 16, and she was away at college when it happened.
I want to ask him a million questions, but I sit and wait patiently as he gathers his thoughts.
They had gone to New York on a business trip for Dad, and they were in the car on the way to the airport. They'd called me to make sure that I had cleaned the house. Mom hated coming home to a dirty house. Steph was in college, but she went close to home, so she'd been staying there with me while they were gone. She spoke to them, then handed the phone to me. My mom sounded happy, and she was ready to go home. They'd only been gone for about a week. We were joking about something, and she said, I love you, kiddo. I said, I love you, too. And as soon as I said that, I heard an enormous crash. They'd been hit by a semi on the freeway. He wasn't looking, and he hit them head on.
Oh, Camden. I kiss his hand gently. You were on the phone with them when it happened?
Yeah. And it was the last thing I said to her.
That's a gift, I reply. So many people wish they'd been able to tell their loved ones that they loved them before they passed.
I know. I don't have that regret.
He smiles sadly.
But it was probably the worst moment in my life. Only above the day I came home to find you gone. I don't say that to make you feel guilty all over again, Mia. I was a typical kid. Saying I love you wasn't really in my vocabulary much anyway. And then they passed away. Steph was my guardian, and probably the most patient person in the world after that. I had a rough year. I was angry.
Of course you were. but I just don't want any more time to slip by without telling you how I feel. I've wanted to say it for weeks now, and it's stupid that I was waiting until the right moment. I should just tell you.
Thank you. Oh, good Lord, girl, he says he loves you, and you say thank you?
Are you cold?
He asks.
Yeah, we should probably get out of these wet clothes.
Did we ruin your couch?
I doubt it. I stand and help him to his feet this time. Let's have a shower.
We shed out of our clothes, and I start the water in the shower.
I expect him to attack me, to boost me up against the wall and fuck me brainless, but he doesn't. Instead, he urges me to get my hair wet, then pours some shampoo in his hands and lathers it into my hair, scrubbing my scalp.
Oh, dear God, that feels good.
He's slow and thorough, and when he's lathered it up really well, he helps me rinse it and does the same with conditioner. While that sits in my hair, he pumps my body wash in his hands and slowly lathers it all over my body, paying particular attention to my breasts.
Are they dirty? I ask innocently.
Very.
He swirls the soap around each one, making my nipples pucker, then travels down to my navel. He makes a heart in the soap, my navel in the middle of it, then travels lower.
Brace your leg on the bench.
Yes, sir. I comply, and then have to bite my lip when his hand dives between my legs, gently washing and massaging me in the most intimate way possible.
Camden.
Yes, love.
I gasp, unable to speak any more, and lean in to bite his shoulder.
Have I told you that it makes me crazy when you bite me?
I shake my head no and cry out when he presses on my clit.
Everything you do turns me on, he growls against my ear.
His hands leave my core, and he washes my inner thighs, my legs, and squats next to me to wash my feet.
Stand under the spray.
I love it when he gets bossy. He rinses the suds off my body, and then I tip my head back into the water so the conditioner can rinse out of my hair. When I'm thoroughly clean, he moves to turn the water off, but I stop him. Oh, no. It's your turn. He cocks a brow, but he obeys when I tell him to trade places. The water splashes onto him, getting him wet. I can't reach his hair well to wash it, so after he gets it wet, he bends over.
I lather his hair, loving the way the thick strands feel between my fingers.
You have great hair.
He just grunts, and I reach for the removable water wand to rinse his hair. I reach for the conditioner, but he shakes his head no. So I pump the body wash into my hands and lather them up and get to work on his ridiculously sexy body. His dick is standing at attention, but I don't touch it yet. I concentrate on his shoulders, his stomach, and his legs, and once he's rinsed off, I start over again with the body wash. But this time I kneel before him and smile up at him as I wrap my sudsy hands around his cock and massage it.
Fuck.
He closes his eyes and leans his hands against the shower wall as I pleasure him, loving how hard he is. How the vein on the underside of his cock is full and stands out. I rinse him off and lean in to suck it, but he grabs me by the shoulders and lifts me to my feet.
Not now.
You made me come, I argue, but he just shakes his head.
I want to be inside of you, he says, but not yet.
Do we always have to take it slow? He grins.
No, we're not going to take this slow, but we're not going to do it here.
He cuts the water off and wraps me in a towel, then wipes me mostly dry, takes my hand and leads me to my bed. The next thing I know, I'm on my back. My legs have been pushed up, and he's eating me out like a man starved. My hands immediately clench in his hair, keeping him pressed to me. I arch my back as I come spectacularly, every hair on my body standing on end. Camden! He's not stopping, despite my already coming. His tongue is inside me, and he presses his thumb to my clit again, making me come again. I might die. I'm dead. My arms and legs feel numb. I feel exhausted. But he climbs over me, cups my cheek in his hand, and kisses me deeply. I can taste myself, and that seems to reawaken me.
I want you,
I murmur against his lips.
Right now.
He slides inside me, but then pulls right back out and mutters, shit, condom. He's gone for a split second, and then he's inside me, braced over me and buried so deep inside of me I don't know where I end and he begins. I can't stop watching his face. He looks stern and turned on and happy all at once. I didn't even know that was possible.
Mine,
he says and presses his forehead to mine, moving his nose back and forth.
You are mine, Mia. Do you understand me?
Yes. I smile and wrap my legs around his waist, urging him deeper.
I'm yours, Camden.
He sighs and closes his eyes just as I feel every muscle in his body tense. He stops moving, pulls out and flips me over. He grips onto my hips and plunges inside me again, fucking me hard now. The only sound in the room is the slapping of skin and the moans of pleasure. I look up into the mirror by my bed and Camden grins at me.
Do you see how fucking sexy you are?
We're sexy, I reply, and reach down to cup his balls. We are sexy. His eyes close and he comes apart, pushing and grinding against me, riding the wave of his own orgasm. His teeth are clenched. He's drenched in sweat. My ass is in the air, pressed against him, and I don't think I've ever seen anything sexier in my life. He finally pulls out, and I collapse onto the bed in exhaustion. I hear the toilet flush, and he joins me, pulls the covers up over us.
We need to change these sheets, I murmur.
Seems we're making all kinds of messes today,
he says with a laugh.
I'll clean it all up.
I can help.
I yawn and trace his collarbones.
I love you too, you know. I loved you back then, and I love you all over again.
He turns me onto my back and hovers over me, watching me closely.
I didn't say it because I was afraid that you didn't feel the same way. I was afraid that you'd say it back out of pity, or even worse, you wouldn't say anything at all and I'd be mortified. Sometimes I can read your mood, but I'm not a mind reader. I didn't know, Camden.
I know.
I tried to forget you. I tried to move on with my life and forget that I ever loved you so much that it hurt to breathe.
I swallow hard and lick my lips. And I did, for a while. But the minute I saw you again, I knew that I'd never really gotten over you.
I'm here now,
he says.
We've screwed things up in the past, but I'm here now, Mia. And I don't plan on going anywhere. Jesus, I moved to Portland for you.
You're still living in a rental, I reply. That has to be expensive.
Only about $300 a day.
What? I sit up and stared down at him in horror. Why didn't you say so?
Why would I say so?
That's a shit ton of money. It's ridiculous to spend that much.
Sweetheart, I'm loaded.
He has a cocky grin on his face now.
I can afford the rental.
You should just move in here.
I'm not going to move in here just because you think I'm paying too much for the rental. It's not a big deal. I'll work out more permanent living conditions sooner or later. I'm not worried about it.
I don't like it. I frown and lie back down, but I don't snuggle up to him. Seems silly for you to be renting a place when I have this place. We've lived together before. We're not bad at it.
You want to be roommates?
He's frowning, and I can't help but try to keep my face serious, just to play with him.
I do have the spare bedroom. You're welcome to it. Besides, I have a better kitchen.
You want me to be your fucking roommate?
It's not a question. I won't charge you anything for rent, since I have to make the mortgage anyway. But if you could help out with utilities, that would be fantastic. He laughs now and shakes his head.
You better be fucking with me, baby.
Or... He pulls me to him and kisses me hard, then pulls away when we're both breathing hard.
What do you want, Mia?
I want you here.
Okay, then. See? That wasn't so hard.
I bark out a laugh.
Everything's been hard with you, Camden.
Chapter 16. Camden. You have a beautiful home, Mia says to my sister 3 weeks later as we sit outside in the backyard. We came up to Seattle to see Steph and Chip and to just get out of Portland for 24 hours. Thank you, Steph says with a smile. Camden says yours is beautiful too. It's finally getting there, Mia replies. I've had some renovations done since I bought the place. It's pretty much where I want it now. I moved in there this week, I add, and grin when Steph's gaze swings quickly to mine, her eyes wide. Really? Really. It didn't make sense for him to keep renting the house he was in, Mia says, but then grins at me. And I like it better having him with me. He's not a bad roommate. He's bad at laundry, Steph warns Mia, who just laughs. I'm good at laundry, so we're okay. He has other talents. I can do this thing with my tongue. Ooh! Steph covers her ears with her hands and squeezes her eyes shut. Stop talking. That's enough. Don't you know that your sister still thinks you're a virgin? Chip asks as he joins us on the patio, carrying a platter of steaks. These beauties are ready to go on the grill. I'll help. I stand, but he shoos me back. I've got this. I'm right here. He opens the grill and smiles at Steph. Your sister got me this very manly grill for my birthday. It's top of the line, Steph says proudly. He's wanted a new one for a while. There's a bit of pressure cooking for two celebrity chefs, he says, and wipes pretend sweat from his brow. At least I know if things start to get tricky, you guys can save me. You're great at the grill, I reply, shaking my head. I've always liked Chip. He's completely in love with my sister and treats her very well. How's the restaurant? Steph asks Mia, who lights up at the mention of her favorite place. It's doing very well, she says. We're kicking around the idea of opening up places in Seattle and San Francisco. Really? I frown. You haven't mentioned it. It's still in the early stages, she says with a shrug. And frankly, I have enough on my plate with the restaurant we already have and the new show. So there's no rush, but it's good to know that it could happen. It's so exciting, Steph replies. I loved it when we were there. It's such a beautiful space, and the food was amazing. Thank you, Mia says with a wide smile. That means a lot. I've recently hired a new executive chef to help me, along with a couple of new sous chefs. Camden reminded me that being a control freak is going to put me in an early grave, so I'm learning to delegate. Steph glances over at me. Did you admit that you also tend to be a control freak? There's no need to tell her lies, I reply, making both Chip and Steph laugh. He works more hours than anyone I've ever met, Chip says. His back is to us as he grills the steaks. I've backed off some, I remind them. And the show is going very well. We're almost finished filming the first season. Oh, that's so great, Steph replies. It's wonderful that it worked into you doing a whole show together. I'm sure you work well together. He's fun to work with, Mia admits, smiling at me. He's helpful and flirty and makes me feel at ease in front of the camera, which isn't my normal. I get nervous. I watched the special they ran on seduction. I never would have thought that you were nervous. You looked beautiful. Well, thanks, Mia replies. But it's so not what I'm used to. I'd rather just be back in the kitchen doing my thing. You're good at both, I reply, and watch as she squirms a bit in her seat. And I'm not just saying that because I love you. I love you too, she says happily. Wait, Steph looks back and forth between us. Did you hear that, Chuck? I did, Chip replies. He's also spun around and is staring at me in shock. I thought his name was Chip, Mia whispers to me. His name is Charles, and I switch it up sometimes, Steph replies, then shakes her head. But back it up. You just said that you love her. I do. Wow. She blinks at me for a moment, then smiles at Mia. He never says that, like, ever. Whatever, I reply, rolling my eyes, but she just shakes her head. We've talked about this, really. He doesn't say, I love you, easily. I know, Mia says and reaches over to take my hand. That's really sweet, Steph says and looks up at Chip, who leans down and kisses